Hi, I'm Lauren Bailey.
And I'm Nick Kane.
And this is The Act of Storytelling.
And the first of a mini podcast suite talking to creatives who are getting things done. Our first guest is seriously inspiring.
Kat Lacoe is an actress.
Oh, snarfy snarf.
An international variety burlesque performer, a live event host, teacher, writer, content creator, and now motivational speaker.
With so many strings to her bow, we thought what a great way to start by finding out what Kat's been up to that's new or innovative.
What I've been doing is, in pandemic-y world, let's just put this in a place where we're all like, oh yeah, this is when we had the pandemic happening. I was changing all my live performance stuff into virtual world, and I was training my burlesque students, and I was pivoting my live burlesque performance into more sort of music video sort of style. But then this year, what's happened is I've been able to reach out to so many more people that they've seen what I'm doing, and they're like, I kind of want what you teach, but I don't want to do burlesque. And they get all freaked out. I've started figuring out, well, what is the elements of burlesque performance that have enhanced my life? And is there a way of like taking those essences without actually having to do burlesque? And so I've been working with a couple of people now. They're both like a beta testing system where I work with them on approaching these performance techniques. But the end goal is not to go on the burlesque stage. The end goal is just to go about your life with that confidence as a burlesque performer. So it's been super interesting to be like, because I always thought, no, I'm coaching you to go on a burlesque stage. But no, I'm coaching you the mindset and the techniques, and they can be applicable to anywhere. So yeah.
I love this. Mindset and confidence are just such a huge part of what we do, right, Bales?
Yeah, and I love the way that Kat connects the essential ingredients of her burlesque performance with her mindset and also into her performance training.
A lot of my earlier training as an actor was technique in terms of how do you break down a script? How do you, get your voice moving? How do you loosen up your body? And it was only when, I don't know if it's a half moving to America or just me getting older, but when I sort of hit my mid-20s, it was like it's 100% your mindset, because you're not creating this character and hiding behind this character when you're a performer. You're bringing yourself to the role. It's your version. It's your version of Hamlet opposed to my version of Hamlet, and they're both equally valid. It's just, well, what performance are you creating? What's working better in that mix of that vision of that production? And there's so much mindset and life coaching style stuff that goes into that to make you a better performer. And I had sort of touched on it more in the burlesque world, because there's so much more revealing of self in the burlesque world, obviously physically, but emotionally as well. And because everything's just you. In the acting world, you're bringing yourself to the character, but you've got the writer and the director and the costumer and the producer and the editor all doing it as well. In a burlesque act, you're writing it, you're costuming it, you're directing it, you're producing it, you're the entire creator for the entire piece. You're revealing everything that is you. And so it innately requires a lot of soul searching, you know, reevaluating things, shifting things in your head. So yes, I was bringing that into my burlesque training, but it wasn't the focus. It was like, this will help you be a better burlesque performer. And then, having performed burlesque, you then become more happier and more successful in your life. So it was the pill in the ice cream, as one of my friends would say. You've come here to train with me as a burlesque performer. Let me just sneak some of this mindset, life coach shit in there.
But, you know, this is a question I had for you when I was coming into this as well. I chatted to Lauren about this for a while. I was like, okay, burlesque, there's body confidence, there's motivational speaker, there's actress, you're always learning new skills. I kind of went, this queen of the like side hustle balanced universe, like there's all this wonderful stuff that you do. And I think everyone on this call right now has different facets to who they are as an artist. Yeah. The hardest thing can sometimes be going, well, who am I showing up as to this? You know, like my work as an actor compared to my work as a host, compared to whatever you want to think about, to present a work, to whatever it might be, creative producing. How do I sort of switch between those You've already started to touch on this a bit with bringing a part of yourself, but could you elaborate on how you can switch in a day from actress to burlesque to motivational speaker? How do you do that and stay true to who you are?
It's like a huge but simple question.
It's huge.
It's
a nickname question.
That's it, sorry.
Please remember what it was, because you'll have to remind me when I get halfway through my answer.
You've got 2 hours, go.
Yes, we've got 2 hours. So I originally thought I had to keep everything super separate because I was the actor. And then I was doing burlesque as sort of more of a hobby. And oh, God forbid that a casting director find out I do burlesque, because they'll think so much less of me and never hire me. Ugh. You know? And then when I was producing theater in London, I was like, oh, they can't find out. I mean, I have to be the producer and be taken seriously. They can't be like, oh, you're only producing this so we can act in it. Ooh, we won't take, you know, I just had this real bullshit mindset that I had to be these three different sections. So when you say, well, how do you switch between them and stay true to yourself? That's 100% it. You need to find truly who you are, because what I talk about in burlesque is that we do spend our entire lives putting on different hats, putting on different masks. I'm this way with my kids. I'm this way at work. I'm this way with my grandparents. I'm this way with my best friend. I'm this way with my boyfriend. And we do shift and change into these different people. But if you can start behaving more as that inner you, and I call her the inner vixen, once you discover, well, which version of these am I? And am I behaving this way with my kids out of fear or out of I'm just assuming that's why I have to behave with them. What would happen if you behaved around your kids the way you do around your best friend? Maybe they would connect with you even better. Maybe you would have a much better experience with those people. I wrote this article, how I exposed myself to my grandma. And it was because I hadn't spoken to her for a while. And she said, how are you doing? And I thought, I've just done this podcast. It's talking exactly about where I am right now. I was like, hey, you know what? Listen to this podcast. And I suddenly remembered, oh my God, I said a lot of things that podcast, not thinking she was ever going to listen to it. But she listened to it and her response was, oh, I just saw this article about people painting their stretch marks and making them pieces of art. I thought you'd love it because it's totally in line. And me and my grandma, like, because I didn't wear the hat, wear the mask and think I have to be.
Shield yourself.
Shield myself. Exactly. So I think the answer is, we'll really start breaking down which elements of these versions of yourself is the true you, and then start getting into the habit of revealing that just a little bit more. I hope that answers the question.
It does. And it's a freeing thought, isn't it? That you can just go, righty, I will do the work to find that core of who you are. And then it's an easier shift across disciplines.
Because then it's just like, well, I'm acting on set as Kat Lacoe. And then I'm just a more heightened version of that for Vixen DeVille. And then when I'm doing a talk or something like this, this is how I would teach my burlesque class. I'm like, hi, guys. Hey, okay, welcome to burlesque. I'm like, well, welcome to the burlesque show. I'm just, there's not that much of a change anymore. Yeah.
I love this idea of breaking down the elements of the truest version of ourselves. And beyond identifying and connecting to that sense of our most authentic self, I asked Kat what her advice was for balancing projects as well as priorities.
Yeah, that's amazing question, because I don't know myself sometimes. I think I learned when I did my solo show, and there were so many different facets to that, and there had, you know, other work going on. I really learned the importance of focusing down on like one thing at a time. Like, yes, you can have multiple projects going on, but I would get into the space of, okay, I've got an hour to do some work. So I'm going to sit down and maybe check my emails to see what's important. But as I check my email, I realize I haven't sent that person that folder. So I go into the folder to get the picture and I'm like, oh, but I haven't written that talk for tomorrow. Oh, maybe I'll start. And nothing gets done. So to really prioritize, well, what do I want to get done this week? So last week I had this filming project on Friday. I needed to learn my lines and rehearse it. But I also had a talk that I needed to write. And I just had to look at the priorities and think, well, you know what? The talk can actually be done after the, you know, filming the set piece and just sort of reprioritizing. But also knowing that each task that you have requires a different part of your brain and a different part of your body. which I found difficult in pandemic because everything is on Zoom, right? Everything is looking at a screen. And I found at one point, everything I was doing was writing and making sentences and learning lines. And I was like, I've reached my cap of that. But some of my world is costuming or making fire sticks, and I'm teaching a fire class. It's all kind of hands-on in different space. So what I've really found is that you need to separate out the different styles of tasks. So I can't do an hour of learning lines and then an hour of let me prep my speech because it's the same part of my brain. But I can do an hour of learning lines and then as my downtime, make some fire sticks for my fire class. And then I'm in a brain space to then write the talk for the talk that I've got. And then as my downtime, maybe finish my costume or dance to a piece of music to rehearse my choreography.
I find this so interesting because I completely agree. Just to break that down even further, do you think it's around sort of cerebral tasks, physical tasks, making sure you're switching your body on, your mind on? So it's basically, that's enough brain, let me go into the body. So you don't want to be thinking too hard up here, you just want to be doing. So is it literally that sort of switch between the brain and the body?
I think so, yeah. If I'm designing costume and making it, because sometimes I'll do costuming where I'm kind of figuring out how I want it to look as I'm making it, that's still in the same brain space of let me write this talk. If I've already designed it, like I know how to make fire sticks, I know exactly all the little bits, I can do that and watch television and it doesn't degrade the work because it's just automatic. But it's kind of therapeutic because you're just doing repetitive actions. I'm doing this because I'm pretend sewing. I wrote an article about the six-headed beast of burlesque, because like I said, when you create a burlesque act, you're the writer, director, choreographer, actor, all the things. And so to avoid overwhelm, I say decide that you're six different people. So say in my life, I could do that, like I'm Kat the actor, Kat the teacher, Kat the coach, Kat the speaker, Kat the burlesque performer, whatever. So put all the areas of your life into different categories. And as you're doing that one thing for like an hour, 90 minutes, whatever your flow period is, I, as the costumer of my burlesque act, will work on my costume. As soon as something pops in, like, ooh, I don't know if the choreography is going to make me able to wear this costume because I need to rip it. I don't then stop trying the costume on and try my choreography because that's for the choreographer and the performer to worry about. So I have a little list of, I write to the other people in my team, which is still me, saying you need to...
Explains a lot.
Right? I write a note to the other people on my team that as I'm making this costume, next time you rehearse, you need to try this costume on and make sure it works. And I go, oh shit, I'm not sure about the sight lines of that venue. Okay, I need to write to my location manager next time you do location managing, or my director or my producer. You need to check that because I am so all over the place, when I'm working on a task, I try to work on that for the full session. And anything that comes in my brain, like, oh, I need coffee. Oh, I need to buy coffee. Well, that's for my assistant to figure out.
I just got this great picture of your partner getting all these notes written to you. Like, at what point does he go, how many people am I living with here?
I have all these different to-do lists, but it's super helpful because then you're kind of batching your work, you know, because if I stop doing that.
It's great.
And that's almost why you have a massive team on a film production set on theater, because, you know, if you're overseeing everything, you can't do it perfectly. If I'm the director, I'm not looking for continuity. I'm not looking for smudged makeup. I'm worried about the framing and the thing. And there's so many other things to worry about. So I have my continuity person to do that for me.
With everything that you've been through, particularly over the last 12 months, what's next for you? And what do you feel like you've learned that's going to really help you in future projects?
I've learned a ton about filming my burlesque acts and making them translate from theater to film. My background in London was always theatre, and then my film work, I've never been the producer or the director of a film. I've always just been the talent. So figuring out how to translate a story from live on stage in front of people to how do I make this as effective and as entertaining and as moving as a film piece. So I've learned a ton of that. Learning how to translate your value. I had this like depression moment beginning of pandemic of, why am I even useful in the world? I'm teaching people how to put a burlesque act together and go on stage and mess around and for funsies. Why is that even useful? But when I got into the speaking world and motivational coaching, I was like, oh, the value of the burlesque act is self-expression, knowing you're valid in the world, being accepted as you are, which is transferable to business, to your personal life, to anybody. So it was a really interesting thing that I'm already doing this, but in this package over here. So how do I repackage it? It's still me. It's still the same teachings, but with things shut down and with people having different needs, how do I repackage that for what's useful now? So I think going forward, it's just knowing that as storytellers, as creators, as actors, as writers, you know, we're super important in the world. An amazing mentor of mine who died a few years ago, Sam Christensen, gave us this article. I can't remember which philosopher it was, but it was about the five things that you needed, like caveman days. You know, you had the person who would feed you. You had the person that would build the shelter. You had the person that would be the medic and look after injuries. And you had the person that told the cautionary tales or that entertained people in the dark times. And we're going through dark times. What are people doing? They're going home. They're watching Netflix. We're super important.
So Kat's pretty amazing, right? With so much in her toolkit, I actually really wanted to know if there was a particular project or strain that she really wanted to focus on.
In that same frame of mind now, what does the next 12 months look like for you? Is there a particular project or a strain that you really want to focus on?
I'm creating a couple of keynotes, and there's a bunch of podcasts that have reached out that I'm sort of going on that are more in that sort of women's empowerment world. I want to be able to, this beta testing course that I'm doing that's sort of more about confidence in your real life rather than creating burlesque, I want to really push on that. There's no real burlesque acts I'm super like desperate to perform yet because I overwhelmed myself last year. Like I created, filmed and edited 15 burlesque acts. I think I did at least one a month, if maybe not two.
And did you say before we started recording that you've just been back on set?
Yes. Oh, it was super amazing. It was just one day shooting. It was for a short film. It's part of a horror anthology. But to get a script that I wasn't just going through for a self-tape. Oh, to actually be acting another person and to have the director there and say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, that's cool. Let's put that in. And a collaborative filming experience where you're actually doing it. Like, oh, give me more of that. Yeah, it was fabulous.
And do you see more of that ahead of you in the next 12 months then?
I would love it if more things are opening up. It's come and go, really. I mean, there's so many self-tapes I did at the beginning of the year that then were like, oh, we're shut down. And so you didn't even know really whether they wanted what you were giving them. I would love to be doing more film TV, but it's just, I never really go, that's my goal, because I feel like it's so out of my control. If the audition comes, like my own agent submits, I may or may not get the audition. I do the self-tape, I may or may not get the part. You get the part, the film may or may not go ahead. I feel like that is such a airy-fairy out of my control that I can never really go, my goal is to get three, you know, recurring stars. It's my goal, yeah. I can update my website. I can connect my agents. I can keep going to acting classes. I can keep making my connections. But I like better to focus on things that I can control so that I don't get so obsessed with, oh, my agent hasn't called me. Oh my God, I haven't got an audition. It's almost like I distract myself so I don't have to worry about what is not happening because I can focus on, well, what is going on? What is happening?
Such a pleasure to talk to you. I actually, some of the process stuff, I want to sit down after this and go, rightio, like, how can I plan my day? So, because it is, like, you do sometimes spend your day all in your head or sometimes all in your body.
Yeah.
I just love that advice, Lauren, to allow you to sort of go, well, how can you actually break up this day so that you approach it more effectively for your body and your brain to work properly, which seems so simple, but not at the same time because I'm not doing it.
Something else that was very helpful. I heard this from a coach and I have no idea who it was. I was watching something on Instagram. It was just a blast on Instagram. I was like, I'm stealing that so hard. And, well, my philosophy with burlesque and performance and everything, life, whatever, is follow the fun. If it's not fun, find the fun in it or stop it and do something else. Like, end of story. So find the fun. And what she was saying was, if you've got this task ahead of you there's no point in going, I need to finish this script. Oh my God, I need to finish this script. I need to sit down my laptop. I will handcuff myself to my table. I'm going to finish this script by the end of the day. Going to happen. Grr. Because then you're just like, grr. But if you remind yourself of the fun and the reasons why and why you want to do this. So sit down for a moment and go, I really want, not I have to, I want to finish this script. Why do I want to finish it? Because I really want this story to be out there. I really want people to hear this message, and it's going to be super exciting when I see it on the big screen, and I'm going to have so-and-so playing in the role, and it's going to really open doors for me. And even if no one buys a script, at least it'll be there as my tool to give to people. And then you're inspired once again. Oh, because we want to be inspired to write the script, not I need to do this, otherwise I will die.
I don't know about you, Lauren, but I am fired up after this interview.
I'm so glad that we got to talk to Kat. And at this point in her career and in the middle of such times of uncertainty, because her enthusiasm for continuing her creative journey and her ability to find just joy and fun and motivation in whatever she's doing is so infectious.
Yeah, and it's not just the intangible enthusiasm, right? It's her work has this really practical element threaded through it, and it's reflected in pretty much everything she does.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! A massive thanks to Kat for bringing her mojo into our lives.
And being a great example of practicing what she preaches.
It's just practice what you preach. Like, especially if you're like teaching other people, coaching other people, like you need to make it part of your life as well. But also to know that it worked. Like, it put me in a good mood. It made me in a happy space. It started myself from positive rather than let's start reacting to stuff. Let's start acting from a positive place. And it was just inspiring to be like, oh, I'm not full of bullshit when I coach people. It does work.
Just a reminder. Love it.
And of course, if you want to hear the full story about how Kat turned having her car stolen into a positive, you can check it out at Act Storytelling on Instagram.
Till next time on the Act of Storytelling.
Thanks for listening.